Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. TD Teron Davenport will join us in 1 hour. We'll get a full breakdown of what he saw in London, where this team goes from here. Mike Vrabel speaks to the media at 3 o'clock today. So interesting insight from TD about what he'll want to hear from Mike Vrabel this afternoon. But the Tennessee Titans fall to the Baltimore Ravens 24-16 and fall to 2-4 on the season. Ryan Tannehill exits the game early with an ankle injury. Sounds like a re-aggravation of the ankle injury from last season that he got the tightrope surgery for. So now there's an even bigger question lingering around this team. The big questions of, where do you go from here? You're 2-4 in a division that looks much more difficult and much more competitive than I thought it was going to be going into this season. In an AFC that's incredibly competitive and difficult, which I think we all probably expected with these quarterbacks and with these coaches and teams in the AFC. But now you got the question of the quarterback, of maybe he could be good to go after the bye. You know, you heal up this week, you're able to get back out there against Atlanta, or maybe you're out for a considerable amount of time. That's a really big difference, and that could be a massive swing on the schedule. So my question to you, Willie, is where does this team go from here?
I'm concerned with the way that things are unfolding in the AFC, because the Jaguars, to me, despite, first of all, Houston is way better. Houston has beaten the Jaguars, and yet the Jaguars are still sitting there having won the last three games. Mm-hmm. They looked very powerful yesterday. I still think that they're going to win at least 10, if not 11, maybe 12. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're going to win out or be a juggernaut or anything. They're moving in the right direction. They're only getting better. They have talent.
They look like the team as advertised.
Now, Trevor Lawrence is hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't know how bad it is. That was something that they were trying to find out. Maybe we'll find out more in a couple days. That could be a game changer if he's out long term for some reason, just like it would be for any team. But they look good. The Colts and the Texans are not pushovers. You're behind all three of those teams right now. So if you're thinking, okay, scratch out 9 wins, you could win the division. That was something we talked about a lot. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think you win the division with 9 wins this year. Not likely. So does that get you a wild card? Well, if the AFC beats each other up, maybe. But Joe Burrow looks like he's getting his health back. He looks better. He was moving around much better yesterday, much more normal. They didn't light it up, but they got a big win. Mm-hmm. He's only going to get better. They have their bye week, right? So he's going to heal up. They should start looking more like they're capable. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. There's a lot of other teams in the AFC that, if you're being fair, they have a better roster than the Titans. So I just think it's one thing to be 2-4 and have all the issues you have. It's another thing to know how good do you have to be to get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. just get into the playoffs. So I'm not saying wave the white flag, but I do think in the next 2 weeks you have to lay the groundwork and just see what interest other teams might have in a couple of your players that could get you a couple more draft picks. And you have to consider that. I'm just saying, you could have a deal and say, okay, you would trade so-and-so for a second-round pick, whatever, package, conditional pick. Okay, have those conversations. Then if you come out and you look really good against the Falcons and you're 3-4, you can let it ride if you want to. Mm-hmm. I still would say that the odds are stacked against you. But you could try to make a go of it. You don't have to make those deals. But if you come out and you don't look good and some of the same things are lingering and Tannehill's still hurt and you got a lot, then it's time to get real, right? You're not doing your job if you're not really taking a look to say, could I get 3 or 4 draft picks here mm-hmm. to help me for the future?
And I think that you at least have to pick up the phone. And then the question arises of what is proper compensation or enough compensation to make that deal worth your while. Because I see a bunch of texts in our text line saying, you know, trade Henry, trade everyone. Realistically, what can you get in return for Derrick Henry?
You can't get I don't think you could execute four or five trades like the Predators did, right? They traded four players last year, and they got a boatload of draft picks and prospects, and that has really helped them, I think, position themselves. And they're not seeing the benefit of that right now. What they hope to is in the next couple of years you'll start to see some of those guys become factors. That's what you're doing. So it's different in the NFL. But Henry's not the only guy. Like I would
Autry.
So Tannehill right Hopkins. Now, that's another bummer about this ankle injury is he probably is not tradable in the next couple of weeks. Would you really even like you'd probably need to see the medicals in there? Like you'd have to really be real. What's he worth? Not much right now. Henry, I wouldn't even think discussion centers around Henry. He might be one guy, but I don't know. But it's other guys like, you know, an Autry or some other guy, like steady veterans that might get you a fifth or a fourth round pick. I don't know what. But if I could get a few picks back to make up for the flip side of this where the last few years they've been trading picks to get the role players, if you can get some of those picks back, that helps.
I mean, a fourth-round pick I don't think is anything to scoff at. I mean, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. But is a fourth-round pick more valuable to your team than a Danigo Autry is? That's the question that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are going to have to ask themselves. Because you could make the argument, yeah, if we're going to pivot into next season and rebuild, if the quarterback is hurt and is out for several weeks, and you're sitting at 2-4, 2-5 3-4 at the trade deadline, then yeah, you could make the argument that a fourth round pick is worth that.
Absolutely, I think because as we've said many times, they don't have the third round next year because they traded it to get Levis. They don't have a fifth and a sixth, right? Those are the other two picks that they're missing. Mm-hmm. So you need tosses at the dartboard. You don't always hit on them, but you give yourself a chance to come up with the Dak Prescott or somebody so it doesn't have to be a first-round pick for it to be worthwhile if you're just deciding, look, we got to be real here. What's best-case scenario? And who's going to be the last guy to buy into that? Mike Vrabel, right? He's not going to be a guy that says, yeah, we can't do it. He is going to keep fighting until it's all over. Like, he will... He'd be like, that's why you love his competitiveness. But that's where Rand Carthon has got to do his job and say, we have to be real here. Where do we sit in the environment? What's it going to look like next year? It's probably hard for Mike Vrabel to look at next year right now. But you have to if you're Rand Carthon.
Yeah, absolutely do. And if Mike Vrabel is going to be making as many personnel decisions as he is making, he also has to keep an eye on the future as well. And in the bye week, I think that has to be at the forefront of the conversations of, look, we wanted to be better. And yeah, we wanted to make a run. We thought we could make a run. It's not looking like that's the case because you said earlier, 9-8, could that win you the division? Probably not. I think even 9 wins is a stretch looking at the rest of the schedule and looking at how this team has played. So that brings the question of Tannehill. Pro Football Doc had a very brief breakdown of Tannehill's injury, the ankle, how it most likely is a re-aggravation of the ankle that he injured and got surgery on last year. And Pro Football Doc said, he could be back after the bye. He could miss some time after the bye, which is about as vague of an evaluation as you could possibly have. Tough to evaluate that when you don't actually have, boots on the ground and looking at evaluating the injury. But let's just say worst case scenario. Let's say worst case scenario, Tannehill is out for several weeks. 3 to 5 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever it might be. What do you do at quarterback?
This is the bye week. I heard Mike Vrabel after the game say some guys need to heal. Some guys need some time off. Mm-hmm. Some guys need reps is what he said. I wonder who he's talking about there. I think the two young quarterbacks fall into that category.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know who you keep around. If there's practice squad guys, if some of the guys, but I would imagine you have to start preparing both of them. Maybe you have a little mini competition. I will say right now, not knowing at all what Will Levis has done behind the scenes to improve, I would give Levis a shot.
I would too.
I think it's time to see what he's got. I think Malik Willis looks to me. Meet Mr. Talent Evaluator, NFL,
which my phone's never rang saying, quarterback evaluator on our show.
Will you come work for our team? I really like your ability to evaluate talent. No, nobody's ever done that. So this is just me, talk show guy. I've seen enough of Willis. I don't see the ceiling anytime soon of breakout starting quarterback. I think he's a long-term project. I think he is a backup that can be a viable backup in the next few years. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible with, you know, the Geno Smiths, the Rich Gannons, the late bloomers, right? But the Titans can't be thinking that way.
Right.
Right? That's up to Malik Willis. In the now, I think Malik Willis still has a lot of limitations, and so I'd like to see what Levis can do. That's where I'm coming from.
And I would agree. And that's not because I think that Will Levis, and I don't want to speak for you, but I would assume that you probably feel the same way. It's not that we think that Will Levis is some sort of savior for this football team.
He's a complete unknown.
Complete unknown. I don't think there's a savior for this football team that's walking in the door anytime soon. There's no easy change here. I mean, I know, I see it in the text line. I hear your calls. I know that everybody is very low on Ryan Tannehill. Everyone's mad about Tannehill, but Will Levis, I don't think, is going to be much better of an option for you than Tannehill is, but also we don't know that. And if you want Will Levis to be the future quarterback of your franchise quarterback, which I think is what they do want, I don't know why you would trade up in the second round to take a quarterback if you don't view him as the long-term solution at quarterback for this team. See what you got. Put him in there. I have made up my mind about Malik Willis. He is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Whether he makes, you know, improvements throughout the season and he feels like a more viable backup, or whether he just is what he is and what we saw on Sunday is what he is, I tend to lean more the latter. Is he is what he is. We've seen him. We've seen what he can do and what he cannot do. But if you view Will Levis as your future quarterback, there's really no point in continuing to throw Malik Willis out there. Unless Will Levis just truly is not that ready. Like that he is in such a, whether it was the injury that set him back or whether it was, you know, just the work that he has to continue to put in. If he really is not ready, then don't do that. But I think that's also a tough position to be in, that your second round quarterback that you traded up to pick still isn't ready to go behind a Malik Willis that, you know, can only take sacks and doesn't really know how to manage the clock. That's also a concern in and of itself.
It is. And I think in this scenario, if you are, because of the injury, and you told me this, I didn't hear the show this morning, you were listening to Robbie and Rex Road. Mm-hmm. Robbie made the point of, hey, this could be, and I, you know, it's always that moment like, this could be the last at bat for so-and-so in a blank uniform. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, I hope it's not. Come on. This isn't the end.
Soak it in.
But they do that. And then after the game, the guy's got to ask the question, are you retiring? Or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you hate to put the cart before the horse, but he made a point that is possible, right? If his ankle is bad enough and he cannot play against the Falcons and you have to start one of these guys and there's a couple more weeks, you might just be one way or the other having to turn the page from Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. He may not quarterback again. And if that's the case, then whoever they start in that first game, both of them might end up getting to play quite a bit. It might be just hey, let's try them both, or one guy plays, he struggles, go to the other guy. And the rest of this year is kind of let's see what happens as they play more. Who grows and who doesn't grow. And then that, at least you're further along and you kind of have an idea of what you have going into next year.
The point that Robbie made was, you know, a thought that he had when Ryan Tannehill left the game was, did we just see Ryan Tannehill's last snap in a Titans uniform? And when he said that, I was like, what? I like rewinded and had to hear him say that again. And his explanation was, if he is so injured that he's going to be out for a few weeks and Will Levis plays horribly, well, then you're probably out of the dance, and then your number one priority might be just let's let the young guy get some experience and make the mistakes when they really don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And his other point was, well, what if Will Levis plays really well? You gonna make that switch back when Ryan Tannehill gets healthy? Probably not. Maybe Will Levis is the savior for your season. So it's something that I don't think is likely that we have seen Ryan Tannehill's last snap on a Titans uniform, but it's not impossible. And that is crazy to
and
think about.
I would say that it's, I don't know if it's probable, but it might, you could say it might be 50-50. Depending on how bad 50-50? Depends on how bad the ankle is. Like, yeah. If he can play, if he is well enough to play against the Falcons, then he probably starts against the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And I think that's a big part of consideration for the rest of this season is the severity of Ryan Tannehill's injury.
And I think there is a scenario where he plays against the Falcons, but he is hobbled. Mm-hmm. We know about high ankle sprains. It bothered. He played through some tough stuff last year, and I think it's only going to be tougher for him to do that this year.
Let's get into some of your thoughts on this. Jason is on the line with a thought on Will Levis. What's up, Jason?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One other thought process that's going through the coach's mind is, look, we've already gotten Tannehill hurt 2 years in a row behind this makeshift offensive line. Do we really want to put our quote-unquote future quarterback behind that same line? I mean, it has to be going through their minds. But I'm with you. I mean, if that's all you have, that's all you have. And you may have to risk it. But personally, if he is the future, there's no way I would want to put Levis behind that line. And I feel sorry for Ryan. I could only imagine what goes through his mind when he's sitting alone at home with his family going, God, I got to go behind that line and try to make plays knowing I'm about to get crushed every single game.
All very good points. Thank you for your call, Jason. And that was something that I mentioned last week when Junie was saying, put Will Levis in, build for the future. That was one point that I made was, I don't want to ruin him. Because there is an age-old debate of sit the rookie quarterback versus play the rookie quarterback. And I think that you have plenty of examples on both sides of sitting versus playing. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, they sat. Russell Wilson played his first year. So plenty of examples on both sides. But I said, I don't want to ruin Will Levis. I don't want to put him behind this crap line. But now it's a much different conversation, given that may be forced into a situation where they have to put either Malik Willis or Will Levis in if Tannehill can't go. And if you're in that position, I say, put Levis in there.
And we've been talking about what the effects of Malik Willis being thrown in there last year have had on him. I don't know. Was it good for him to now, as we sit here today, for having gone through that last year, or did it almost set him back, the lack of success and sort of throwing him to the wolves last year because you didn't have a veteran backup? I don't know. And the other part that we don't know is behind the scenes, what do the coaches think Levis's understanding of the offense is right now without the reps? Because he didn't get reps in the preseason games. He didn't even get to go through all the practices in the controlled scrimmages that they had. So he missed some time. He was behind. So where is he? Is he caught up? It's a crapshoot a little bit. It's a lot to ask. It's a tough ask, especially against that offensive line.
Yeah.
But I will say that if you look at Stroud and some of those other guys, those guys are finding ways to, and even Richardson before he got hurt, they were finding ways to compete. And Stroud has had a decent amount of success. So I can see both sides of it. But I just think the only other option is to let Malik Willis just take all the lumps and then sign another Josh Dobbs, basically, who's on the street to back up and protect Will Levis. But I just think at this point, you got to see what he's got to some degree.
To some degree, 100%. And the idea of, you know, Tannehill could be healthy enough to go against Atlanta.
Right.
And if so, then this conversation is completely different. We just don't know. And I think at this point, there is a very high possibility that he wouldn't be ready to go against Atlanta. One texter texts in and says it's inexcusable that Mike Vrabel and Rand didn't address the offensive line and Tannehill's hurt again. I agree. I mean, we've been saying that a lot throughout the offseason. They drafted Peter Skoronski in the first round, to their credit. But Andre Dillard's already been replaced. I would say that Nicholas Petit-Frere is going to be the left tackle moving forward, based off of what I saw on Sunday, if you would agree. Or not.
I think that's probably a fair bet right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they would have done it in the middle of the game.
No. And that if he's available and ready to go, throw him in there. You know, salvage it as best.
It just illustrates the situation. I don't think Nick Petit-Frere is the savior.
No.
He's not going to suddenly make them way, way better.
No.
But he could be better than Dillard. I think that's what you're deciding.
Man.
And God forbid if you have another injury or two, and then who do you go to? Because then it's Dillard comes back in. You know what I mean? They're
or Radins.
Right.
And you don't feel good about any of those options.
Right. This they thought might be a problem, and it is a problem.
We are right back into your phones on this coming up next. Your thoughts, if Ryan Tannehill can't go, where do you go? Where does his team go from here? Where does the quarterback position go from here? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. May, stay tuned into 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 p.m. on the road against Liberty, pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Titans fall to the Ravens in London, and it was just such a demoralizing loss of what was on the line. And how sloppy the team played. Really, you and I broke it down between the Kyle Phillips muffed punt, the Tannehill interception, and the Jeffrey Simmons personal foul. 13 points that the Titans handed the Ravens. Four of those coming off of the personal foul because the Ravens scored a touchdown on that drive. But being a little fair, we'll give them three. That they probably would have at least kicked a field goal on that play. And then a field goal from the Phillips muff and a field goal from the Tannehill interception. Just
yeah,
10 right. points.
And then there's the missed opportunity of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine dropping what should have been a touchdown catch. Not an easy catch, but that's one I'm sure he would say he's got to have that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's big, especially for a team that has had all this discussion of, hey, we've had all these long drives and we're finishing them with field goals and not touchdowns. To have that opportunity and miss it, that stung a lot. So there's four more points left outside the bag.
That's someone who I needed a whole lot more of from yesterday. After we spent a couple weeks singing his praises, rightfully so, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine dropped the football too many times yesterday.
I see him as another guy that's symbolic of the roster. He's not a high-dollar guy. He is an overachiever. And in the right role, he can be a nice player. But when you're asking him to be your number two guy, he's probably not a number two in this league.
No.
When he's getting more attention from the coverage, you don't have a guy like Burks or any other receiver that's really a big threat, and you can't really protect your quarterback much. That's when only great players can elevate above that. Mm-hmm. And so he's just not one of those guys that can do that.
And when Chris Moore's out of the game after a
dirty
hit from Kyle Hamilton.
Dirty hit. But Chris Moore is another guy that is a budget, low-dollar, nice player. He's not a star. So he needs the support of Hopkins, and in theory it was Hopkins and Burks. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys can do their thing as role players.
Yeah.
But when he's counted on more, it's harder for him.
That's kind of the theme of this team and a lot of their struggles.
Yeah,
this team's just not good enough.
It's a middle-class roster with not a lot of high-end guys and not a lot of depth.
You get what you pay for, and you want to go discount on the offensive line, discount in pass catchers, two problem areas for the Titans over the past couple of years. Well, that's what you get.
Well, it's the end of a window. They've been spending. They've been trading draft picks. They've been, going for it, and it catches up to you after a while. They don't have, the salary cap is at a sort of a head. Right now, hopefully they'll have a lot more room next year. And of course, they'll have to replace some pretty important players in theory.
Right.
To get that room.
Starting with, more probable than not,
the quarterback.
Today's your day, so we're going to get right back into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lawrence is on the line with a thought on the future of the stadium. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, I want to call. I hadn't heard it spoken about in any of this, but when the new stadium opens, unless they do a wholesale, trade everybody, fire sale, get every pick we can to try to be relevant when that stadium opens, for the prices that they're asking for the new seats and holding everybody hostage, it's the current season ticket. Because if it's down right now, we're going to be in the start of rebuilding mode and be a 3-14, a 5-12 team moving into a multi-billion-dollar stadium that, you know, half the people in Davidson County don't even want.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Lawrence, and very fair point. And it's something that I think is absolutely on the mind of Amy Adams Strunk. She's a businesswoman. That's what she's in this business for. So it's hard to project in the NFL. It's hard to project week to week, year to year, much less 4 years into the future when the stadium opens in 2027. A lot of things are going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're a completely new team, maybe a new coach by then, absolutely new role players, new quarterback. Henry won't be here anymore. Simmons is probably really the only household name and familiar face that'll be on this team come 2027. And maybe that's not even a guarantee.
It may not be a guarantee. I like the chances, but yeah. Your point is well taken, that by 2027, how many of the 53 will still be in the Titans uniform? You're going to have basically a new team.
Over under 1.5?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's that low, but it's a low number.
Yes.
It's less than 10, probably. Odds would tell you, especially where they are, because there's going to have to be some rebuilding between now and then. It's a veteran roster that's trying to make a go of it, as we've said before. It's not all in, but it's certainly not a full rebuild, but they're in between. And maybe that changes as they move forward this year, if they can't play any better. So it's a great question by Lawrence, because, you know, what's going to happen from the business, purely the business standpoint,
right?
What's going to start happening over the next few years while you're making the decisions with the roster? You're asking people to start buying the PSLs, which is not an easy sell to start with, because there are a lot of people that said, I already paid a PSL. I paid a PSL for the first stadium. Why are you asking me to do this again? Aren't the PSLs, isn't that day and age over? Like, and whether you do that or not, as Lawrence was saying, or was it Lawrence that just called?
I believe so.
You're going to ask high dollar. So it won't be as easy to sell if the team isn't doing real well.
And to the caller's point, you're selling those PSLs now. That's not something that gets sold on opening day of the 2027 season. So the way that Amy, I'm sure, is looking at it is, we want to have pieces in place where people of this city and Titans fans want to be part of that and are willing to put that money forth to be part of that team.
And they do not have a great group of ambassadors in the front office that have great relationships and great rapport with the fans. So I think it is going to be a tough sell in a lot of areas over the next couple years, especially if the team is struggling. And the team, like Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, can't control that. That's not their job. They have to just try to make the best decisions for how to build the team back into being a championship level team.
Right.
So they can't allow all this other stuff to affect it, but it's going to be looming. Right. That's going to be the tough part of it.
And I know that's probably the last thing that Mike Vrabel wants to hear about is, we got to be better for the stadium.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. It's a business at the end of the day. I mean, it's not, you know, NFL.gov. Weston is on the line with a thought on the Titans' future. What's up, Weston?
Yeah, hey, guys. Just wanted to weigh in something here. Willie, you brought up a great point with how nobody really has that rapport with the fans right now. And going to my point here is, what we need to think about is looking at these injuries and these soft tissue injuries that keep occurring. Fire somebody on the medical staff. Hire somebody that can actually scout players instead of scouting these guys in the third, fourth rounds that come in and can't even play a full season. I mean, you look at San Francisco, where Rand Carthon came from, and they have guys that can stay on the field and stay healthy. Look at IU. Look at all these guys that they drafted late. I mean, they can do it. It's just a matter of spending the money on your scouting personnel, your medical staff. I mean, I'm not really blaming Carthon. I'm not blaming Vrabel on this. I think it's more of a front office standpoint of, it's time for some changes in that category.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Weston. You can't put that on Rand Carthon. You know, the two most injured teams in the NFL 2 years in a row. Rand Carthon wasn't here. I mean, the point about injuries. This season, I don't think that injuries are as much of a problem as they've been in the last 2 years. Of course, you know, Ryan Tannehill just went down with an ankle injury, but that's not soft tissue. That's just a football injury. Those things happen. You know, Treylon Burks with the scary injury in Minnesota, that's probably never really fully healed and got re-aggravated. that's also a football injury. So the medical staff and the injuries, I don't think, are as pressing of an issue this season. I think overall the more pressing question is your players aren't good enough.
And there's only two ways to get better players, and that is to draft, and that is to go out and get free agents. Mm-hmm. And so the draft is easily the best way. Free agency is costly, especially if you want to pay top dollar for the best free agents who oftentimes have played their best football. They've sort of aged out of their prime. That's mm-hmm. the dilemma of spending, quote, big money in free agency. It's a Band-Aid a lot of times. So the core of the roster has to get stronger through the draft. And that's why the challenge for Rand Carthon is what it is, because they don't have a full arsenal of draft picks next year. So acquiring more picks is something that they've got to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Eric is on the line with a thought on the Titans. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, you were talking about the injuries. And the main thing, guys, is I'm hoping we can get both Pierre Tart and Treylon Burks back on the field, because that would help out the Titans so tremendously, guys. But whether it's fair or not, the narrative that's out there, and the thing that's still unfortunately going to stick in the Titans' crawl, is the fact that the guy we drafted, Treylon Burks, can't stay on the field, can't stay healthy. And the guy that we got rid of to go for him with the Philadelphia Eagles, he had his fourth straight 100-yard game, and he hasn't missed a game since he's been there. I don't know what you make of that, guys, but I think that one glaring thing is going to stick in the Titans' crawl just for so long, guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for your call,
Eric. It's so obvious that we don't even talk about it that much, but that is obvious that they did not make out well in that trade. And even if Burks becomes a good player, it's hard for me to see him becoming anything close to what A.J. Brown is.
Especially what A.J. Brown is doing with the Eagles.
A.J. Brown is a game-changing player.
Yeah.
And I think I know that you could nitpick about, well, he's only a 1,000-yard receiver twice, and he missed some games, he was hurt a lot.
But he was a game-changer
here,
too. But
he made a big impact when he played. That's where Burks, the hope was when they drafted him, that, okay, you're drafting the next A.J. Brown. But we know how that goes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think he could be a nice player. I just haven't seen anything from him, even when he's healthy, that he is a game changer week in and week out.
From what
in the games that he has played.
Yeah. And from what
let alone the
so
fact
far,
that he's having trouble staying on the field.
From what we've seen from Treylon Burks when he is on the field, in a rare occasion where he's on the field, this team's not a Treylon Burks away from being competitive.
No.
Like, Treylon Burks was not the difference in London yesterday. Treylon Burks was not the difference in Indianapolis 2 weeks ago. Treylon Burks is a really good player, and this team is going to have to get more from Treylon Burks. It starts with him staying healthy, but they need more from him. He needs to catch the football. He has one big play this season.
Right.
One.
The other part of it is, who did we talk about a lot in the offseason as somebody who could help an offense that needs a spark? Chigga Okonkwo. The more I watch him, the more I don't believe it's going to happen. And I hope that I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I know he works hard. He's a likable guy. D-Mace made the all-points bulletin, but I haven't seen it. He still looks like a guy that doesn't adjust to the ball real well, that's kind of a loud runner. It's not an effortless catch. He's running full speed. I don't see it. And that's tough, because those two guys were like, oh, this is where the offense can make up ground and mm-hmm. improve. They've gotten nothing from Okonkwo. Nothing.
Nothing.
To this point in the season. And they've gotten nothing from Burks, except for the one play.
The one play against the Chargers. And that's not good enough.
Yeah. And where is it going? Maybe when Burks comes back, he'll be more effective. You can only hope that that's the case. I'm not sure it's going to happen with Okonkwo. That's where I stand right now. I could be wrong.
Well, let's get into that coming up next. How did we get here? Is it the John Robinson drafting? Was it not addressing the offensive line in free agency or really other positions of need as adequately as maybe bringing in a D-hop in the offseason? Is it coaching? Is it quarterback? How did we get here with the Titans? Because I think to answer that question, you need to answer that question first before you start to answer where do they go from here. So we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, right back into your calls and text. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
You're talking about correcting things. It's not dissimilar to things you've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrated with the repetition?
Frustrated with losing. Frustrated with losing.
Yeah. Something's unable to be corrected?
Probably.
What you have?
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. But not going to stop trying. Not going to stop trying to prepare them and teach them and fundamentals and execution. There'll be some good plays in there. And, you know, there'll be certainly the ones in there that we have to eliminate that are getting us beat.
Okay, right there from Vrabel. What do we make of when Paul Kaharski asks him, are some of these problems fixable? Maybe. I don't love to hear that from the head coach. Don't love to hear that, but also I would probably agree.
He said, I'm not going to stop trying. I think it sounds to me like it's the reality check a little bit of, look, there's only so much you could do with they're not a powerful roster. Whose players... Whose roster would you rather have yesterday, the Ravens or the Titans?
Oh, Ravens. I mean, I would take...
And would you... They have been an underdog in all but one game. I think they were favored to beat the Colts.
Favored to beat the Colts.
So they played six games. They've been a favorite in one game.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to tell you about where their roster is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's
a mediocre roster. They haven't been a seven-point underdog, but they've been an underdog, even at home.
And I feel like such a doofus... Such a doofus in the summertime when everyone was saying the Titans were like the 23rd, 24th, 25th best team in the league. And I thought, there's just no way. Ryan Tannehill's not elite. He's not great, but he's not that bad. I mean, I would take Tannehill over other quarterbacks in the league. And I thought, well, with Henry, then you add DeAndre Hopkins, and this defensive front should be elite. That defensive front is not elite.
I wanted to believe you were right about the power rankings.
Yeah.
That the power rankings were wrong. Everybody wants to feel like that. But I was the one saying, we have to not ignore this, right? And it's, could you make the argument they were a little bit better? Yeah, in a put their best foot forward, they can be a good team. But it is telling about just the overall weaponry you have bringing into every game. Like, take what happened on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
When Vanderbilt gets on the field and Georgia gets on the field, you're talking about two different levels of talent. Vanderbilt played their guts out and was somewhat competitive against the number one team that probably came in not overly fired up about playing Vanderbilt. We should walk through the park and beat these guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a factor. But Vanderbilt fought hard, but there's a talent gap right now. That gap is always smaller in the NFL, but we can't ignore the gap. I'm saying that I sound like Deion Sanders. Every commercial, I hear him talking about the gap, right? The insurance with the donkey or the
bull junk gap.
All that
the
stuff.
The bull junkie, yeah.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying. Mike Vrabel he's frustrated because he's trying to get the most out of these guys. He's ticked off that they're not maxing out what they have. And that's all you can control as a coach. Let's max out what we do have. And I think that's where he's ticked off. But also when you're saying some of these things aren't correctable, they probably aren't. The offensive line is not going to turn into the Hogs. I always use that example. I'm just thinking of great offensive lines. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be a great offensive line. They have to maximize what they have and make it passable. And they haven't quite done. They haven't really done that.
No, no. And that's the
it's
frustrating
It's not as good
thing.
As they hoped it would be. They hoped it would be better.
They hoped it would
but
be
it's
better.
But it's going to be a problem.
Yes, 100%.
It's going to continue to be a problem this year until they can address it in the offseason with draft and all that stuff.
And I think maybe the more disappointing thing for me is we have seen so many times this team overachieve based off of what maybe a lot of people would evaluate the roster is. They've overachieved. 2021, I think, is the poster child for that.
But who did you have? You had a Derrick Henry in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Still. And, of course... They were good enough with the other areas of the roster that they overcame it when he missed half the season in 2021.
When he got it. When you were the most injured team in the league and you had Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard trying to make up for Derrick Henry's production and you were still the number one team in the National Football
League. And who else
league.
Did you have?
You also had A.J. Brown.
Exactly.
And that's the frustrating thing is I felt that team overachieved.
You had more guys, though, that could elevate. Elevate the weak points.
When they were healthy.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was kind of the identity of Mike Vrabel teams. Of we're going to make fewer mistakes than you, and we're going to be tougher than you, and you might be a better football team than us. You might have the better quarterback. You might have the advantage of 75% of areas on the roster. But we are going to outplay you and out-tough you, and we're going to bully you at the line of scrimmage, and we don't care if there's a bunch of no-names on our roster. We are going to out-tough you.
I think they had seen
that identity this season.
Agreed. That team was more talented, I think. But also, they did the little things really well. Mm-hmm. And they were grittier, and they were winning the close games. They were not overwhelming most teams, right? Mm-hmm. That was the stat that a lot of people were looking at. Wow, they're winning a lot of close games. That's not easy to keep doing. But they did. But statistically, they were better than this team, but they weren't totally dominant.
Right. Yeah. Let's get back in some of your phones, 615-737-1025. Again, TD Tron Davenport will join us in just about 10 minutes. One texter texts in says, it's the quarterback. That's the biggest problem. Tannehill is trash. Look, Tannehill was not good yesterday. We were talking at the break, Willie. There were three explosive plays offensively. The Derrick Henry run out of Wildcat, and then Derrick Henry's touchdown.
Wait, and you could argue that the Derrick Henry 63-yard run out of the Wildcat shouldn't have happened because the roughing the passer flared to before that was a bad call.
That was a bad call.
They'll take it. But that was a great run by Henry. No question about it. And that you see what an impact of that kind of play has, right? Those plays are so valuable. So it was that.
And then the touchdown run, right. And then Tajay Spears run.
Which was a great run, too.
Great run. And then the Tajay Spears run in the fourth quarter, which you pointed out was the first third down conversion of the game.
It's a two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning. Oh, my goodness. So you had three explosive plays offensively coming from your running backs in the entire game. That's not good enough. And then Tannehill had the horrendous interception. That was bad.
It looked like the Ravens were coming into the game saying, we are going to take away your short stuff. We're going to make it hard for you to do the things that you guys want to do. We're not going to bend and don't break. We're going to take away that short stuff because we don't think you can attack down the field and beat us. And it worked. I didn't see them even really try to attack down the field in the passing game. Did you?
No.
And part of it is they can't protect him long enough for the guys to get down the field a lot of the time.
And the shots that you did take downfield, I thought the throw. But
when were the shots down the field?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in the end zone, I guess.
But
I
that's not like
downfield.
That's in the red zone.
Yeah, right. But I thought that was on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He needs to catch that.
Yeah, he's got to catch that.
And then the interception. That was a shot downfield.
It was.
But maybe a shot that you shouldn't have taken. And I know
he had a hobbled quarterback, and he said it himself. He underthrew him. I didn't think he was open. The safety is coming over. He thought that Okonkwo was open there. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as when he went back and looked at the tape if he really thought in retrospect it was there. I saw the safety coming over and he read it all the way.
And I get it. That
if that
Tannehill
throws on the
injured,
money, is it there or does that still get picked off? I don't know.
If it's on the – I think that if Tannehill was healthy, he would have given it enough juice where the safety wouldn't have been able to make a play on it. Maybe it gets broken up.
Yeah, or maybe you overthrow. You miss with an overthrow.
That came in slow.
Yeah.
That came in a little rainbowed, which it was due to the ankle. But also, if you're Tannehill, know your limitations. Know that your ankle is not 100% and that you probably can't give that throw every bit of juice that it needs. I mean, take the short throws. I believe it was Kurt Warner on the call who said, I thought Tannehill was getting a little greedy there.
On that play, yeah.
On that play.
And he pointed out that maybe if you go quick to Henry in the flat, you can at least get the yard and keep the chains moving. Fair point.
And, you know, who knows what you could have made off that drive. Maybe it was nothing, maybe a punt there, maybe get a field goal there, but who knows? We won't know.
You had momentum there. That was the thing.
Had a ton of momentum.
I would have been curious. Let's just say that you find a way to move the chains there. As the game, and even as the drive wore on, you could tell that Tannehill was really struggling to move. Like, could he have made it work on one leg like that? I guess maybe we could say he would have finished the drive, but it looked like he was done after that. Like he couldn't even walk to the locker room. He had to get the cart. He was standing there. I felt bad for him. He said all by himself.
Really sad.
Yeah.
And that's what
Jamie Erdahl was the one saying, well, he looks like he's all by himself, but here's what he's doing. He's waiting for the cart to arrive.
Come around.
Yeah. Like it looked like Ferraro, he's looking around going, "Where I got to go in the locker room. I got to do something. I can't play."
Poor thing. Looked like a kid waiting for his parent to pick him up from school. Parent got stuck in traffic. It was sad. I felt bad for him. TD, Teron Davenport will join us coming up next, what he saw in the game yesterday and also where this team goes. 2-4 heading into the bye. Tannehill is hurt. And optimism, I think, is at an all-time low. But we'll chat with Teron Davenport coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays. Hey, tomorrow it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Predators player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.